A. Topographical representation of the EEG. Quantitative electroencephalography, QEG, is a computational approach to analyzing the brain's electrical activity by extracting numerical values from raw EEG recordings. One of its primary strengths is its ability to produce topographical representations, which are spatial maps displaying the intensity and distribution of EEG activity across the scalp. These maps visually demonstrate how different brain areas function in various states and can reveal regional abnormalities or asymmetries that may correlate with neurological or psychological conditions. Topographical representation begins with multi-channel EEG recording, typically using the International 1020 or 10-to-10 electrode placement systems. The electrical signals captured are pre-processed to remove noise and artifacts such as muscle activity, EMG, eye movements, EOG, and cardiac signals, ECG. After cleaning, the data are segmented into time windows, or epochs, and transformed from the time domain to the frequency domain using techniques like the fast Fourier transform, FFT, or wavelet analysis. Each frequency band is then visualized in spatial maps using interpolation between electrode sites. Color-coded maps enhance interpretability, with hues corresponding to signal intensity or standard deviations from normative values. These maps may represent absolute power, relative power, phase, coherence, asymmetry, or current source density, CSD. They serve as valuable diagnostic aids in epilepsy, ADHD, anxiety disorders, traumatic brain injury, and more. In research, the topographical EEG allows for dynamic tracking of neural processes during tasks and rest, contributing to our understanding of cognition and emotion regulation. The development of Z-score training. Z-score neurofeedback was introduced to simplify and standardize EEG-based training by providing real-time feedback based on statistical deviations from a normative database. Robert Thatcher, in collaboration with Thomas Kalura, pioneered this development by integrating normative EEG data into software systems that deliver instantaneous feedback. The first implementation around 1996 utilized one- or two-channel recordings, comparing client EEG features, such as absolute power, relative power, phase, and coherence, to age-matched normative data. Differences were quantified in standard deviation units, Z-scores, enabling clear targets for up- or downtraining specific EEG patterns. This method gained clinical traction due to its objectivity and statistical rigor. Clients could receive feedback whenever their EEG approached a more normative state, Z equals zero, guiding them toward regulating dysfunctional brain activity. Visual displays such as Z-score bars and topographic Z-maps provided intuitive progress indicators. Eventually, the technology expanded to four-channel systems and then to 19-channel real-time Z-score training, which significantly increased spatial resolution and allowed more comprehensive coverage of brain networks. A major advancement was the application of LORETTA, low-resolution electromagnetic tomography, which enabled 3D source localization of electrical activity in cortical space. Later refinements led to SW-LORETTA, standardized weighted LORETTA, enhancing spatial precision and reducing localization errors. These developments allowed clinicians to target specific cortical generators underlying observed scalp activity and tailor interventions accordingly. QEG Pro database. One of the more recent additions to Z-score training systems was the QEG Pro database. Developed by European clinicians, it was designed using EEG recordings from individuals who self-reported no clinical symptoms and were further screened using questionnaires. The database attempted to remove any records containing EEG features associated with known clinical disorders. However, critics, including experienced neurofeedback practitioners and researchers, questioned the reliability and validity of this approach. They argued that excluding EEGs based on subjective questionnaire data could introduce sampling bias and underrepresent the normal variability present in healthy populations. Skepticism also stemmed from the lack of published peer-reviewed validation studies and the opacity surrounding database construction methods. Personal communications with clinicians, such as John Anderson, highlighted concerns about the assumptions underlying this database. Despite this, QEG Pro became widely adopted, particularly in Europe, due to its integration with user-friendly platforms and automated training recommendations. However, the clinical utility of the system remains debated in the scientific community, and clinicians are encouraged to interpret its findings cautiously. NeuroGuide Database. In contrast, Robert Thatcher's NeuroGuide Database, used widely in the United States, was constructed from carefully screened EEGs of neurologically healthy individuals across the lifespan. These records underwent rigorous artifact rejection and statistical normalization procedures. The age-stratified database provides normative values for dozens of EEG metrics, including band power, coherence, phase lag, phase reset, and asymmetry across multiple derivations. NeuroGuide's robustness and transparency have led to over 50 peer-reviewed publications supporting its validity and clinical applications. NeuroGuide also integrates with SW-Loretta for 3D source estimation, allowing clinicians to move beyond surface-level analysis and target intracortical generators. The software provides visual representations of client deviations in both 2D scalp maps and 3D brain images, offering a multimodal view of brain function. Real-time Z-score training using this system enables symptom-specific intervention and has shown efficacy in treating disorders ranging from ADHD to mild cognitive impairment. Clinical database development. Unlike normative databases, clinical databases emerged from seasoned practitioners who identified recurring EEG patterns in symptomatic individuals. These databases were built from clinical observations rather than statistical norms, emphasizing practicality and symptom relevance. Paul Swingle, a pioneer in this domain, argued that databases derived from normal individuals might not reflect optimal functioning or account for latent pathology. His clinical cue system used 6 electrodes and symptom probes to correlate EEG findings with behavioral complaints, offering an intuitive and efficient assessment. Swingle emphasized that symptom-free individuals might carry heritable conditions or subclinical neurophysiological abnormalities. Thus, normative comparisons could normalize dysfunction or obscure treatment priorities. His approach generated color-coded reports highlighting deviations from clinical expectations and suggested symptom inquiries. While less statistically rigorous, the clinical cue provided accessible insights for therapists and clinicians seeking immediate correlations between EEG data and client complaints. Peter Van Dusen's The Learning Curve, TLC. Peter Van Dusen developed one of the first comprehensive clinical databases, the Learning Curve, TLC, focusing on symptom patterns rather than diagnostic categories. Drawing from his training with Joel Luber and years of clinical experience, Van Dusen categorized EEG features into 6 profiles representing common dysfunctions. His system emphasized behavioral observation, client self-reports, and targeted EEG markers to guide intervention, bypassing the need for formal diagnostic labels. TLC provided visual maps and training protocols customized to the client's EEG and symptom pattern. Practitioners appreciated its accessibility and alignment with functional training goals. Though not as granular as 19-channel normative assessments, TLC's symptom-focused model allowed for personalized neurofeedback in varied clinical contexts, such as anxiety, attention deficits, and emotional dysregulation. Richard Suda's New Mind Maps. Richard Suda advanced clinical database development with New Mind Maps, a sophisticated platform integrating multiple levels of EEG analysis, including 2-, 4-, and 19-channel recordings. His system produced comprehensive narrative reports that contextualized EEG findings within clinical histories, offering amplitude-based and Z-score-based recommendations. New Mind Maps included optional guidance for integrating audiovisual entrainment, Avenue, further extending treatment scope. Suter emphasized functional interpretation using graph-based analytics, topographic maps, and clinician checklists. The reports connected EEG markers with probable symptom constellations, offering both diagnostic insights and therapeutic direction. Although it lacked the statistical rigor of normative databases, it allowed a holistic understanding of client functioning and was praised for its clinical practicality. John Demos Jewel Clinical Database. John Demos, author of the widely used manual Getting Started with Neurofeedback, contributed to clinical database methodology with the Jewel Clinical Database. tailored for children, ages 7 to 19, and adults. This database produced surface and Esclerotia maps linked to checklist-driven symptom associations. Its design emphasized user-friendliness for entry-level neurofeedback practitioners. Jewel's output included brain maps, graphs, and symptom-based training suggestions, aiding treatment planning without overwhelming the user. It helped connect EEG findings with behavioral data and included basic normative elements. Though not a substitute for full-scale QEG, it provided an accessible bridge between behavioral assessment and EEG-based intervention. John Anderson's NuQ assessment. John Anderson developed the NuQ assessment tool for the Nexus BioTrace platform. This system used 6 sequentially recorded electrode pairs and stratified clients into 4 age groups. The output compared observed values against clinical expectations and provided symptom probes akin to Swingle's clinical Q. Anderson was transparent about its limitations, noting that the NuQ was not a diagnostic tool and lacked formal statistical validation. Nonetheless, it served as a pragmatic resource for clinicians seeking quick EEG insights in alignment with presenting complaints. The disclaimer emphasized clinical judgment, reinforcing the tool's role as an adjunct rather than a standalone solution. A guide to interpreting QEG topographic maps. Reading topographic EEG maps is a nuanced process that involves more than simply identifying color-coded deviations. Z-score maps indicate where an individual's EEG differs from normative data, but these differences must be correlated with behavioral symptoms to be meaningful. For example, elevated beta activity in frontal regions may relate to anxiety in one client, but compensatory processing in another. Artifacts further complicate interpretation. Muscle tension, eye movements, and cardiac activity can introduce patterns that mimic pathological EEG findings. Thus, maps should be generated only after meticulous artifact rejection and reviewed in the context of visual inspection and client history. Clinicians should avoid treating every deviation as pathological, focusing instead on deviations that match the client's symptoms and functional complaints. Eyes closed, linked ears, ECLE montage. The ECLE montage references each active electrode to a common signal from linked earlobe electrodes. This approach provides a consistent reference but can introduce contamination from non-cortical sources. In our case study, alpha rhythms around 8 Hz were evident in parietal regions, with ECG artifacts and isolated electrode instability present. Spectral analysis showed enhanced 7 to 9 Hz activity, with peak power localized to P4 and C4. Z-score indicators revealed significant deviations in these bands, likely reflecting both genuine cortical rhythms and residual artifact influence. Thus, ECLE is useful but should be supplemented with additional montages. Eyes closed longitudinal bipolar, ECLBP, montage. This montage uses a bipolar configuration where each channel reflects the difference between 2 adjacent electrodes. It enhances local feature resolution and suppresses common mode signals, making it ideal for identifying focal abnormalities. In the same subject, ECLBP revealed strong alpha rhythms in parietal occipital derivations but lacked the frontal alpha observed in ECLE, suggesting prior contamination from the reference. This illustrates the importance of comparing montages to disentangle true signals from artifacts. Eyes closed average reference, ACAVE montage. The ACAVE montage uses the average signal across all electrodes as a reference. This method reduces the influence of individual reference sites and improves spatial balance. In our subject, alpha peaked at 8 to 9 Hz in posterior regions, and delta emerged in parietal areas. This montage provided more symmetrical maps and reduced the influence of frontal muscle artifact. However, it still showed vulnerability to EMG at occipital sites. It serves as a balanced compromise between local resolution and global representation. Eyes closed Laplacian, ECLP, montage. Laplacian referencing applies a spatial derivative to estimate current density by comparing each electrode to its immediate neighbors. This enhances local specificity and attenuates global noise. The ECLP montage revealed heightened parietal alpha and delta activity with persistent occipital EMG. It downplayed diffuse activity and highlighted local cortical generators, making it highly suitable for localization purposes. Eyes closed, three montages. Comparing ECLE, a cave, and ECLP maps highlights the variability introduced by montage choice. ECLE overestimated delta and theta due to reference contamination, while a cave and ECLP agreed on significant parietal deviations. ECLP's localized focus supported targeted intervention, whereas a cave offered a balanced overview. Clinicians should use multiple montages to triangulate findings and confirm training targets, particularly when EEG data show ambiguous features. Conclusion: topographical EEG mapping is an indispensable tool in both clinical and research settings. It transforms raw EEG data into intuitive spatial representations, aiding diagnosis, treatment planning, and monitoring. Z-score and clinical databases provide complementary frameworks, one statistically driven, the other empirically grounded. Each brings unique strengths to the interpretive process, offering the clinician different vantage points from which to assess and intervene in brain function. Montage selection remains a critical consideration when analyzing EEG data. The choice between linked ears, average reference, longitudinal bipolar, and Laplacian montages can profoundly influence the interpretation of both raw tracings and topographical maps. Clinicians must understand the methodological assumptions and signal characteristics inherent to each montage to make informed decisions. The convergence of findings across multiple montages often serves as the most reliable guide to identifying genuine cortical activity versus artifact. Clinical databases, while less statistically rigorous than normative ones, offer grounded interpretations closely tied to practitioner experience and symptom expression. They serve as practical tools for mapping symptoms to probable EEG features, especially in early clinical encounters. In contrast, normative databases afford a more objective comparison across large populations, helping to identify deviations from average patterns of brain function. Ideally, future tools will combine the strengths of both approaches to support hybrid systems of evaluation and training. Z-score training has opened new frontiers in neurofeedback by introducing standardization, immediate feedback, and database-guided metrics. While not without criticism, especially in terms of database composition and training interpretation, it remains widely adopted and empirically supported. SW Loretta and related advances have also elevated the spatial precision of feedback, enabling clinicians to work with deeper cortical sources rather than surface potentials alone. This marks a significant shift toward functional localization in neurofeedback. One of the most pressing challenges facing clinicians is the accurate differentiation between functional abnormality, artifact, and normal variants. Anomalous EEG patterns can result from many factors unrelated to pathology, such as individual cognitive style, high-functioning compensations, or cultural differences in brain dynamics. A careful clinical interview, supported by behavioral and psychological assessment, is essential for contextualizing EEG findings. Relying solely on statistical deviation may lead to overpathologizing or inappropriate interventions. EEG interpretation must always occur within a rigorous clinical framework that prioritizes symptom relevance and patient individuality. Training decisions should not be based solely on statistical differences, but rather on their congruence with functional complaints. Where EEG deviations align with the patient's experiences of cognitive, emotional, or behavioral disturbance, targeted neurofeedback protocols have the highest likelihood of success. Finally, continued education and cross-disciplinary dialogue are vital. As the field grows, clinicians must remain critically engaged with both technological developments and empirical literature. Professional skepticism regarding database construction, artifact removal, and montage interpretation should be matched with an openness to innovation and the ethical imperative to provide informed, individualized care. Advances in machine learning and adaptive neurofeedback hold promise, but their integration must rest on solid clinical reasoning and empirical validation. In sum, QEEG-based topographical mapping and Z-score analysis represent powerful tools in modern neuroscience and clinical practice. Their full potential is realized when used in conjunction with robust clinical assessment, theoretical grounding, and ethical application. Practitioners must remain methodologically flexible, diagnostically cautious, and committed to understanding each client's unique neurophysiological narrative. By integrating multiple data sources and perspectives, clinicians can harness the strengths of EEG technology to facilitate healing, optimization, and deeper self-regulation.